Chapter 47. Being as good as the people we serve. Let me close by telling you a story that helps me keep my head up. Something I love about my job as a U.S. senator is that I get to spend half my time back in my home state meeting with people I represent. And as corny as it sounds, talking with Minnesotans always sends me back to Washington inspired and encouraged. Minnesotans are good-hearted and generous and brilliant. And when I spend time in my state, I see Minnesotans training veterans and ex-offenders for advanced manufacturing jobs. I see them making great advances in clean energy and energy efficiency that could wind up being game changers in the fight against climate change. I see them helping their neighbors clean up after floods and tornadoes. Seeing this stuff always makes me realize how lucky I am to be Minnesota's voice in Washington. Even when being in politics feels exhausting or dispiriting or downright morally bankrupt, it's still a chance to do some good work for people who really, really deserve it. And in that way, the people I represent don't just inspire me, they focus me. They make it possible to notice how screwed up our political system is without letting my frustration turn me inside out. They give me something to hold on to so that I can avoid getting discouraged. Because in politics, it's the people who can avoid getting discouraged who get a chance to make a difference. Even on my worst days, the people I represent give me a purpose that can't be shaken by some obnoxious procedural delay or jaw-droppingly terrible Trump tweet. I represent incredible people, and my job is simply to be as good as they are. 2 days before the 2016 election, Donald Trump landed his gaudy plane at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, making his first public appearance in our state just in time to spread his trademark blend of hate, fear, and ignorance, this time targeting our Somali Minnesota community. Somalis started coming to America in large numbers during a civil war in the early 1990s. Many families had spent years in refugee camps in Kenya and elsewhere in Africa. About 50,000 Somali refugees now live in Minnesota, many of them in the Twin Cities, but not all. Many smaller cities and communities around the state have significant Somali populations. At the time, Trump was attacking Hillary Clinton's plan to admit 65,000 refugees out of the millions of people fleeing Syria in the worst refugee crisis since World War II. Her plan, Trump told the crowd, will import generations of terrorism, extremism, and radicalism into your schools and throughout your community. You already have it. He wasn't talking about Syrian refugees. So far, Minnesota has admitted 28 of them. He was talking about the Somalis who have been here for years, people who are an important part of our state's fabric. Here in Minnesota, you've seen firsthand the problems caused with faulty refugee vetting, with large numbers of Somali refugees coming into your state, Trump told the rally. He was referring to an incident 2 months earlier in which a young Somali man wielding a knife had injured 9 people at a shopping mall in St. Cloud before being killed by an off-duty cop. The assailant had come to America when he was 4 months old, which makes it kind of hard to buy that the incident was a result of faulty vetting. The investigation is now in the hands of the feds, who have possession of the attacker's electronic devices. By all accounts, the man had gone off the deep end. Not unlike the Iowa man with a Trump-Pence sign in his yard, who had murdered 2 police officers, ambush-style, just 4 days before the airport rally. Of course, no one was accusing Trump of stoking the anger that led to the senseless police killings in Iowa. But here Trump was blaming the Somali community for the knife attack in St. Cloud. You've suffered enough, he snarled, talking about the presence of Somali people in our communities. That's kind of how Trump's entire campaign went. His arguments were rarely rooted in fact, but they frequently carried a tinge of racism and paranoia. And that's what made it so upsetting when he won. How could that be what America chose? Is it really who we are? And if so, what's the point of trying? The truth, however, is that, at least in Minnesota, that's not who we are. The day after the knife attack, St. Cloud's police chief, William Blair Anderson, went on Fox and Friends, where perfectly named host Steve Doocy invited him to comment on Trump's concerns about who is coming to our country. Chief Anderson replied, "I can tell you the vast majority of all our citizens, no matter what ethnicity, are fine, hardworking people. And now is not the time to be divisive." Shortly after the attack, I went to St. Cloud to meet with Anderson and St. Cloud's fine mayor, David Kleiss, a former Republican state legislator whom I've gotten to know well over the years. They assured me that the attack would not divide their cohesive community. Look, a lot of Minnesotans voted for Donald Trump. And when I travel around Minnesota, I meet people who voted for him, believing that only a true outsider could drain the swamp in Washington. I meet committed Republicans who were willing to hold their noses and vote for him so that the Supreme Court would stay in conservative hands. I meet people who bought into the misinformation spread about Hillary Clinton and couldn't bring themselves to vote for someone who is insufficiently attentive to proper email security protocols. But where Donald Trump sees a state in which people suspect and resent their neighbors based on where they come from, I see a state where we look out for each other because we believe that we're all in this together. Trump might have found a clever way to channel the resentments of the white working class, and he sure does seem good at playing the media for fools. But he's just plain wrong about what kind of people we are. Willmar is an agricultural city of about 20,000 in south-central Minnesota and the seat of Canandaigua County, the largest turkey-producing county and the largest turkey-producing state in the nation. In June of last year, I took the unusual step of inviting myself to Willmar's high school graduation, not just for the free punch and cookies, but because I wanted to introduce the senior who had been voted by the graduating class to be their class speaker. Her name was Muna Abdullahi, and she had been one of our Senate pages during her junior year. Her principal had recommended her to my office, and my staff told me that her essay and interview were incredibly impressive. So the day the new class of pages arrived in the Senate, I went down to the floor to meet her in person. Muna was easy to pick out of the group of 30 or so, being the only one wearing a hijab, or headscarf, with her page uniform. I went up to her and said, "You look like a Minnesotan." Muna nodded and smiled. As we talked, I was struck by her poise and intelligence. A few weeks later, the ambassador from Somalia came to the Capitol to meet with a number of senators and members of Congress from states with large Somali communities. I invited Muna to come along so that the ambassador could meet her and see that a Somali Minnesotan was a Senate page. The class of 2016 at Willmar Senior High had 236 members. Perusing the list of graduates in the program, I estimated that about 60% were your garden variety Scandinavian German white Minnesotans. About 25% were Hispanic, and about 15% were Somali, with a few Asian Americans tossed in. The valedictorian, Maite Madryn Mera, had been born in Ecuador. As the orchestra played Pomp and Circumstance, the graduates entered two by two, walking down the center aisle in caps and gowns. Muna was up front because Abdullahi was the first name alphabetically. She was holding hands with fellow senior Michelle Carlson, one of two Carlson twins to graduate that day. The only way to tell Michelle and her sister Mary apart is that Mary has a slightly shorter haircut, or maybe it's Michelle. Otherwise, they're identical. Both are tall, both are brilliant, both graduated with highest honors, and both exude the same spirit of pure positivity and joy. The whole day was like this. Maite gave a wonderful speech, and so did class president Tate Hovland, half Norwegian, half German. and both received enthusiastic ovations. I introduced Muna, who got a boisterous round of applause as she took the stage, and a standing O when she finished. When it came time to hand out diplomas, the crowd was told to hold their applause until the end. But they couldn't help themselves. The moment Muna's name was called, everyone erupted, clapping, shouting, stomping on the bleachers, and it continued like that through each one of the 236 graduates. These kids loved each other. The 2 hours I spent at that high school commencement were a tonic for the year of trash I'd been hearing about our country. The previous year, I'd been in Wilmer to help respond to an avian flu crisis that threatened the turkey industry that employs so many in Canada-Yohai County. A number of producers were worried that they might lose their entire operations. But we were able to get some emergency funding to help keep them on their feet. Were these turkey producers Democrats? Were they Republicans? No idea. Didn't care. Don't care. Will never care. Do they care that they have Somali refugees in their community? Yes, they do care. They want them. They need them. They need people like Muna's dad, who works in IT at the Jenny O. Turkey store. Perhaps Donald Trump confused Minnesota with somewhere else. About a week after the election, I spoke to Gerard Araud, the French ambassador to the United States. He told me that in France, a Frenchman is someone who can tell you what village his family is from going back centuries. Immigrants never really get to become Frenchmen. It made me think back to the hideous massacre in Paris the year before. Here in America, of course, we're all immigrants, except, of course, for Native Americans against whom we committed genocide. I'm a Jew, but I'm also an American. Muna is Somali, but she's also an American. On election day, I ran into her on campus at the University of Minnesota, where I was getting out the vote for Hillary. She told me that her sister, Anissa, had been voted homecoming queen. That's who we are. In places like France, they isolate their refugees and immigrants. In America, we elect them homecoming queen. Wilmer is a great community. Minnesota is a great state. America is a great country. Do we have enormous problems? You bet. Do Americans have the right to be angry about those problems? Yes. Are some of those Americans wrong about what the problems are? Sure. Does that make it harder to solve the problems? Oh, yeah. But one thing for sure, Muna is not the problem. Muna is a big part of the solution. Her classmates know it, her community knows it. And her senator knows it, too. If, when you listen to this book, the Trump presidency has gone in the direction we all fear it might, you might think it's strange for me to have ended this book on a hopeful note. But I'm an optimist, and more importantly, I'm a Minnesota senator. And no matter what happens in the years ahead, no matter who's president, no matter how exciting or depressing our current political environment may be, we who have the honor of serving our state and our country in the Senate always need to remember whom it is we're serving and how friggin' great they are. This has been a Hachette Audio production of Al Franken, Giant of the Senate. Written and read by Senator Al Franken. Produced by Lisa Kahn. Directed by Suzanne Torin. Recorded by Tyler Whitlatch at CDM Studios. Post-production by Chris Howerton. Al Franken, Giant of the Senate, is also available in print and as an ebook from 12, a division of Hachette Book Group. For more Hachette Audio Productions, visit us at HachetteAudio.com. Thank you for listening. Text copyright 2017 by Al Franken. Audio production copyright 2017 Hachette Audio. All rights reserved. Hachette Book Group supports the right to free expression and the value of copyright. The purpose of copyright is to encourage writers and artists to produce the creative works that enrich our culture. The duplicating, uploading, and distribution of this audiobook without permission is a theft of the author's intellectual property. If you would like permission to use material from the audiobook, other than for review purposes, please contact permissions at hbgusa.com. Thank you for your support of the author's rights.